Welcome back to Word of Mouth. Well, around these parts, that thumping anthem means that Internet Sherpa Brady Carlson is in the house to guide us up Mount Awesome. When he's not hosting All Things Considered or managing NHPR's Public Insight Network, he's untangling the endless joys of the interweb and social media for Here's What's Awesome, our regular segment devoted to the trends, memes, and hidden treasures that can only be dug up online. Brady, welcome back.
It's nice to be here, Virginia.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we covered a story about Congress scaling back USDA lunch proposals, where the soundbite was something like, you know, Congress makes pizza a vegetable. Now, not entirely the case, but do tell me, how did social media roll with this one?
They weren't impressed, to say the least. The internet culture abhors spin, and so when they hear a soundbite like Congress wants to call pizza a vegetable, even if that's not quite 100% accurate, it reinforces that already deep suspicion on the web that the powers that be can't be trusted in any way, shape, or form. They can't even know the difference between pizza and a vegetable. There was a funny post I saw on Boing Boing. There was a guy who wrote a song, made a music video. He's alternating pictures of vegetables and pictures of pizza as he sings about them.
Let's hear.
This is a vegetable. This is pizza. Here is a vegetable. Here is pizza. Here is a vegetable. This over here.
Okay, so he has his moment.
Yeah, and there was also a sign on the website Consumerist I saw. They had a sign outside a Pizza Hut, and they had written on, you know, put the letters up underneath the Pizza Hut logo and said, now serving vegetables.
All right, we also did talk to the personal digital assistant, Siri. She's on the Apple 4S iPhone. She was on our show.
Right.
Now Siri's making news for allegedly taking a position on a hot-button social issue.
Yeah, there was a piece on Raw Story that said that if you ask Siri to find an abortion clinic, that Siri will bring up results, but the results will actually lead you to places that are called pregnancy crisis clinics. These are set up by anti-abortion groups. They market it toward people who might be thinking of having an abortion, and the idea is to counsel them out of having an abortion and to do something else instead. I don't have an iPhone. I can't verify this. If it is true, it's also possible that it could be a byproduct of search, that it the search might not be calibrated, might not be a deliberate thing. But it is another example of how devices, websites, search engines, all of that, they get caught up in these larger debates because you have to decide, well, you know, What does it mean to find an abortion clinic, you know, or what does it mean to call pizza a vegetable, for another example? You know, you come down on these issues whether you intend to or not.
Well, yesterday, a man who's come down on many issues, Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank, announced that he will not seek another term. The web community will certainly miss him. I mean, he does give good video.
That's putting it mildly. He was well known for sound bites before the web got hold of things. But since then, he's become one of those politicians who comes up with the big YouTube-friendly moments. I think the one that's most memorable was he was at a town hall meeting in Massachusetts, and an attendee was asking him about President Obama's health care law and comparing it to the policies of the Nazis. His response was really well shared.
Let's hear.
You want me to answer the question?
Yes.
If you stand there with a picture of the president, defaced to look like Hitler, and compare the effort to increase health care to the Nazis, my answer to you is, as I said before, it is a tribute to the First Amendment that this kind of vile, contemptible nonsense is so freely propagated. Trying to have a conversation with you would be like trying to argue with a dining room table. I have no interest in doing it.
In a way, he's sort of like the liberal counterpart to Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey. I see some parallels there. They're both very brusque, very argumentative, and very pithy. You know, those quotes do make it around the web for a reason. So I suspect that in the era of YouTube, we're going to see a lot more politicians in that mold.
Now onto some charming and ultimately very game women willing to try new experiences on camera and web camera, no less. Brady set this up for us.
Sure. Well, over the Thanksgiving holiday, my son had his first Skype chat with his grandma and his uncle back in Illinois. So it was a lot of fun. I don't think he knew what was going on exactly, but I think it still went more smoothly than this woman's first experience with a webcam chat.
Lisa, the other mom, how are you? Gee, this is weird.
Pretty much a giggle fest for the rest of it.
I kind of want to put her in the room with Double Rainbow Guy and see who makes it out.
Well, I did see another video after it went viral. Here is an 82-year-old woman who, for the first time, is trying Pop Rocks. Now, you remember Pop Rocks.
Oh,
those,
yeah.
You know, popping pebble candies that you're not supposed to either feed to pigeons or
no,
combine
soda.
With drinking Coke no. at the same time.
There you go. And then just shut your mouth.
Oh, my God.
Another great moment captured on YouTube.
You know, if it isn't babies making making viral videos on the internet, it's our grandmas and our grandpas making great moments on YouTube.
All right, Brady, looks like we're going to come to a close soon, but how should we take it out today?
Well, there was something that I found yesterday that I just love. Obviously, classic video games, huge part of the internet. They're all over the place. People doing remixes of things and making reference to The Legend of Zelda or Metroid or Sonic the Hedgehog or, in this case, Super Mario Brothers. This is a guy who has made an opera based on Super Mario Brothers. But like so many internet musical artists, he actually uses the old 8-bit musical cards and instruments of the Nintendo systems and the classic
kind of
video game systems. Yeah, so
it's
an opera, but it's done with 8-bit computer noise. So
oh
it's I'll tell you this much: it's certainly better than the Spider-Man musical.
It's a me, Mario. It's a me, Mario. So I'm off to find the princess magic mushroom, make me doll, then I make a pretty flower.
Brady, again, you've just brought us an invaluable amount of culture. I really appreciate it.
That's really bumping it up, and I appreciate that.
That was Awesomator Brady Carlson, our internet guru and NHBR's host of All Things Considered. You can, of course, find links to everything that we spoke about today at our awesome webpage, wordofmouthradio.org.
Welcome back.
This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Who doesn't love an underdog, a Rocky in the ring? With the audience for boxing eroding, the new ring is an octagonal cage. In popularity and profits, mixed martial arts, or MMA, has knocked out boxing over the past decade. The Ultimate Fighting Championship, MMA's flagship event, was sold for $2 million in 2001. Today, it's worth an estimated $1 billion. Our guest today is a definitive UFC underdog. He is a writer who dove, George Plimpton style, into the grueling world of MMA and landed in the octagon. I'll leave his introduction to the pros.
Into the ring this evening, wearing the black trunks, and he's representing Extreme Couture. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Matt Pauly!
Matthew Pauly tells the story of his odyssey in a new book called Tapped Out. Matthew, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Matthew, when we talked about this segment in our editorial meetings, there's a clear perception from some of us that mixed martial arts is a really brutal sport, far more than boxing. We mentioned it was once called human cockfighting. Is it a fair assessment?
Actually, the weird thing is it seems more brutal than it is. And in a weird way, mixed martial arts is actually safer than boxing. For the very simple reason that people get hit in the head less. That doesn't mean it's safe. It's not golf. But boxing is actually much more dangerous to the long-term health of the participants than mixed martial arts is.
For a period in the late 90s, MMA, mixed martial arts, was banned in nearly every state. Now it's gone pretty mainstream. So what prompted the turnaround?
Honestly, I think it was partly just marketing. When they first started out, they marketed it as this brutal gladiatorial sport. But then they started adding rules, and they started to get sanctioning. And so the overall perception changed, and people realized the truth, which is, you know, when you throw in wrestling and grappling as a combat sport, it actually makes it safer.
Now it is also very big business, outpacing boxing even. And you point out bigger earnings than the Red Sox? It's hard to believe around these parts.
Well, I'm not going to say anything about the Red Sox in your parts or mine. I live in Connecticut, so I do know how popular that is. But it's a $1 to $2 billion company, the UFC, and they're doing events nearly every week. So it's become really huge. And amongst men sort of 18 to 34, It's the hottest sport in the country.
Well, you joked that before starting this project, writing the book and getting involved with mixed martial arts, you were much more fond of Chinese takeout than Chinese martial arts. How did you convince yourself to do this? Never mind your family.
I found it terrifying. It was a real adventure because when I started, I was 36 years old and firmly into middle age and middle gut. But I thought this was sort of my one last chance to see whether or not I still had it in me. I wrote a book, American Shaolin, mm-hmm. about 2 years that I spent training kung fu with the martial arts monks in China. But then I was 21, 22. So I kind of felt like the ex-high school quarterback who got called up to play with the Patriots.
Now, when did this turn for you from writing a book to really wanting to fight, to be a champ?
I think every fighter has that I've got one more left in me feeling. But I have to say, when I met George St. Pierre, GSP, mm-hmm. as his fans know him, and I watched him train and saw just how good they were, I had two feelings. One, I wish I'd started earlier. And two, I realized I would never be a champ. But three, I just admired the incredible athleticism of the best fighters in mixed martial arts. And I kind of wanted a piece of that myself.
We're speaking with Matthew Pauly, who lived the life of a mixed martial artist and writing his new book, Tapped Out, brings a whole new meaning to immersion journalism. Well, let's talk a little bit about GSP, George St. Pierre. I mean, there are a number of archetypes within the ranks of MMA fighters, but he is surprisingly contemplative and sensitive. So tell us about meeting George St. Pierre, or GSP, this is a French-Canadian UFC champ.
I think one of the interesting stereotypes that I found completely busted was this idea that they were all kind of brutish, you know, back alley street brawlers. GSP, when I met him in New York City, was incredibly thoughtful and sensitive. I made a remark about how, you know, the hometown crowd loved him, and he seemed hurt. He's like, well, I hope everybody thinks I'm a champion.
Hmm.
And I think the best champions of the sport are incredibly thoughtful, interesting, and they're always thinking about how to be better. They don't think about beating someone up. They think about what's wrong with their game, and that's what makes them champion.
Yeah, in fact, I think it was one of your trainers that said to you, there's a difference, Matt, between being a fighter and a martial artist. What is that difference?
One of my trainers, Joey Varner, when I was training at Randy Couture's gym, at Extreme Couture, said to me, a martial artist, he fights himself, and a fighter fights other people.
But eventually you did actually enter into the ring. How long did you have to train before you got in there?
I spent 2 years. I probably could have done it quicker if I'd been in better shape when I started, but I was 250 pounds, and I ended up fighting at 185.
Okay, well, you know everybody's dying to find out what happened. So a little bit of a play-by-play here?
Yeah, we give a little spoiler alert. It was interesting because I was wearing contacts, which right before the fight they said you're not allowed to wear, but I managed to get in the ring, and my opponent was very good. He had a really good right hand, and he knocked out one of my contacts in the early round, so I lost all depth perception. And he hit me several times where the lights went down. I was nearly knocked out. But at the end of the second round, it was technical knockout victory, TKO'd him.
Well, let's hear a clip from the obviously ecstatic announcer from this fight.
Yeah.
He is moving. He's just leaning. He's got a little Matrix in him here. Little Neo. Oh, he takes a right hand and looks at the referee like, did you hit me? The referee has to pull Pauly off. My life has changed now that I've seen. If Pauly can do it, I can do it as well. He is every man.
He is every man. Wow. So you did it. I mean, the announcer almost sounds shocked that you're getting ahead here.
They were. When they first started out, it was funny because they were like, oh, this is kind of a joke. But as they saw what I could do in the ring, they got more and more excited. By the end, when I watched the clip much later, I was like, I should give those guys money. they were great and very supportive. But I think the idea of if he can do it, anyone can do it, it really should be the theme of the book, because you don't know what you have in you unless you try. And if you work hard enough, amazing things can happen.
Well, Matthew Pauly, champ and everyman, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Matthew Pauly, he's written for Slate, Esquire, and The Nation, among other publications, and is author of Tapped Out, Rear Naked Chokes, The Octagon, and The Last Emperor, An Odyssey in Mixed Martial Arts. You'll find a link to more on the book, including videos of Matt training. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, a YouTube channel opens the lid on an occupation that will ultimately touch all of us. We'll hear from the woman behind Ask a Mortician. This is NHPR.